So what's your favorite? How did you go? If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and survivor of not one, but two bird attacks while running, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Soaring Bowie. Soren, what's flappening?
Hey, Daniel, I'm Soaring Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad. I'm the other half of this podcast. It may have just been my headphones. A couple of things I want to get to, but right off the bat, did you say stow at the very beginning of this?
No.
Instead of so? Oh, it may have just been a jump in my headphones, but I was furiously trying to decide now if that was a type of bird, and you'd planted this early on, which brings me to my next part. What the fuck happened?
DOB's devotees will recall that a while ago I was threatened and menaced by a goose while on one of my runs, and this time I'm in a different location now, a different seaside town in New Jersey. And a bird actually made contact with me while I was running. I was running past an area where I know a lot of birds are, because there are bird watchers that go there.
Where the birds hang out?
Yeah. And I felt something that hit me in the back of the arm, not hard or anything, but definitely not like something distinct that wasn't me bumping myself or a drop of fat sweat landing on my elbow. Something definitely hit me. And I turned to see what it was. And there was a small bird, like the size of my hand, doing a hovering thing where it would like hover for a while and then dive in advance at me and then hover and dive in advance. And it was so hot that day that I had taken my shirt off mid run and I waved the shirt at it to send it away and it left.
You know,
but it's twice now that I've been attacked by birds while running, and like there's a huge Reddit community for this very thing.
Yes. So in addition to knowing types of trees, I know birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This bird that was attacking you, was it black with yellow eyes?
No.
Was it brownish and brown and black?
Yes.
Okay. That's the female version of it. So there's the males that look like they've like been dipped in an oil slick. They're black, but if you look at them in the right light, they're kind of rainbowy. And they've got these yellow eyes. And then the females are brown, and then they kind of have like black wings, I believe, maybe some like black on their head too.
Okay.
But they're more just brown. And some people call them cowbirds. I think that they're also maybe called Brewer's blackbirds. I can't remember, but they are super territorial, like crazy territorial.
Yeah.
And they're in areas where there's like large parks or golf courses. Like they're very, very common, and they will dive bomb you.
Yeah.
And they'll chase you.
And everyone on the internet agrees that it's just like, you know, birds don't, they're not going to mistake me for food. But if I'm running around their nesting area, they're going to feel threatened and they're going to want to attack me. I've been running for so much of my life, and it's now happened twice in the last year and never before that. It's fun to talk to other runners on Reddit, or not talk to them. I don't engage, but to just see them. Just one person curiously being like, is anyone else getting constantly attacked by birds when they're running? And everyone's like, oh yeah, I fucking hate birds. They're the worst. And everyone's got their stories about how much they hate birds. Because there are some people who are like, yes, sharks are scary, but they mean us no harm. And actually we're in their territory, so we should leave them alone. Or like, you know, you're scared of snakes. You don't want to get bit by a snake, but that's, you know, you're in the mountains. Maybe you get bit by a snake. These people have no sympathy for birds. There is no element of like, we're all sharing this planet together. Runners versus birds is a real fucking thing.
The only reason I know about these types of bird attacks is because I used to work on golf courses growing up. And it was a genuine problem where like you would get, my job was going around putting a hose inside those giant sprinkler systems and watering spruce trees, which should not have been growing where they were growing. and they needed like tons more water than they could ever possibly get unless somebody was watering them every day. But the problem is that those spruce trees are exactly where that type of bird lives. And so every day I would be like accosted by birds, like to the point where I was like, I'm going to have to figure out something because this is untenable. Yeah. Like I can feel them in my hair. They're touching me. It was really deeply uncomfortable. And in a way we're like, I'm helpless. Like this little thing is beating me.
It's tough because, and I mentioned this in the goose episode, as it's famously known, I don't want to punch a bird out of the sky. I don't want to hit a bird. As mad as I am, I don't want to like fight or kill a bird, but I don't really know what to do when they're flying at me and now dive bombing me while I'm just trying to, it knows I'm recovering from a broken foot. I'm just trying to get my speed back up.
Oh shit. I completely forgot. So you're running now.
I'm running now. Yeah.
How's that?
It's good. It's, you know, I haven't done the distance that I'd been used to doing, but I'm getting my speed back to where I want it to be. And, you know, if there are any doctors or occupational therapists or family members who may be both of those things listening, they'll be disappointed to learn that I'm like, yeah, I'm running and everything's fine. I mean, it hurts still. It's still definitely wrong. But yeah, I've decided that it's back to normal now.
I have another question for you as somebody who knows and sees you, Daniel.
Hey, Soren.
Yeah.
I see you too. I see you.
I see you. I did watch The Way of Water and I'm pretty excited to start using that again. you used to have some trouble with your knees and you were forced to take some time off. Did any of that resolve itself in your time off?
My knees?
Yeah.
When did I have trouble with my knees?
It's a long, heavy silence here. You've gone on this podcast several times to talk. We've talked about how running. I was like, do you have any problems with running? And you're like, yeah, my knees are fucked. And I'm like, well, do you think that would be fixed with some time off? And you're like, I don't know, because I can't take time off. So I'm just going to live with it.
Huh. Well, I guess it worked because my knees feel fine. And I've forgotten they've ever hurt. Are you sure it was knees and not like shin splints?
No, I'm positive. I'm a devotee. Okay. You don't. I know these things. Yes, you had trouble with your knees. You're having problems with like, you're like, well, I hope that sometimes fixes itself because I'm not going to stop. And you just kept running and it became like this thing where you're like, I can plateau. The pain isn't getting any worse, but it's going to always be there.
Man.
And so I went through a similar thing. The reason I'm asking is that when I broke my wrist, as the connoisseurs will know, I broke my wrist. I had to take a break from working out. Couldn't do anything. Can't even like do a push-up because I can't get my hand perfect at a right angle to my forearm. And during that time, I was like, well, maybe this will heal this tendonitis that I'm having in my elbow. That would be nice. And I feel like it has, Dan. I feel like the time off has solved me. So what I'm saying is if you're suffering from a long-standing injury, go break a bone. It's like the best thing you can do.
Right, because you need the time off, but no one will believe that if you say I'm taking time off.
No.
The reason I'm not doing push-ups right now is because I'm taking time off to heal something else. No, no one's going to believe that. You need receipts. You need proof. Show up in a cast and in lots of pain and with an x-ray if you have one.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing is that I wouldn't have believed myself is the problem. I would have kept trying to work out and I would have kept coming back early to it and stuff. This forced me, if like, no pun intended, it forced my hand that I had to do this because I didn't have a choice. Like I was like, it's deeply painful. In fact, now I'm going back to the gym and there's still certain exercises like dips or trying to do a bench press where, oh boy, that's tough on the old wrist because it like really forces the wrist into a direction it doesn't want to go right now. But this is probably not super healthy for me. If any OTs or Daniel's family members want to tell me this, every time that I do something to my wrist where I'm like, oh, I pushed it a little too hard, the next day it feels great. And so I'm learning a really terrible lesson right now, which is, I just need to break this stuff up. Like I just need to get in 100%. There and do some crackling.
Yeah, break and rebuild, break and rebuild. And that's how we get stronger.
Speaking of which, I do this thing on the 4th of July where I take my son up on the roof. Now I have a two-story house, so it's high. We get up, mm-hmm. we get up real high. We go out his window of his bathroom, and then we climb up onto the second part of the roof. But that's about it's about 5 feet higher. So I have to like plant hands and then push up on it to get up there. And I could put him up, and then I planted and then pushed up without even thinking about it and got right into that position where I was like then dangling from a roof. And I was like, oh God, oh, that hurts. That hurts. That hurts. And like really smeared and clumsily threw myself up onto the other roof and was like, oh man, I think I did real damage. Like that was my hand hurts. And then the next day, I had way more flexibility. It felt great.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I felt really awesome was when my foot was still broken and I was wearing the medical boot and would still go to the gym and just work out the rest of me.
Yeah.
And anytime I was like on the floor in some position and I needed to like flip over from my back onto my stomach or get up from where I was, utilizing everything except my left foot to get up was super fun. I felt like,
yeah,
I felt suddenly more flexible and like an acrobat and like fucking Spider-Man when I'm like balancing on one foot and flipping over with my hands while my other foot is like elevated and doing the thing it's supposed to and I'm not putting any weight on it. Felt really cool.
That is
crazy. I'm sure I looked awesome.
Those, by the way, are my favorite people at the gym they've got a thing that they discovered at some point and they're like, this looks cool. I'm going to keep doing this. Like there was a guy at my gym, our old gym actually, who would do pull-ups, a lot of pull-ups. And then he would drop down onto one knee and his fists on the ground. Like a superhero.
That sucks.
And then it gets better because then he would also like be looking down and then he would slowly bring his head up. And it was the shittiest. But I really loved it.
That's awesome. Good for him.
What did you do for the 4th?
Oh, nothing. I did so much traveling. So the month of June saw me from New Jersey to LA, from LA to Oakland, from Oakland back to LA, from LA to Lake Placid, New York, from Lake Placid, New York, back to LA, from LA to Illinois. And then I was finally done with a month of all that traveling and living out of a suitcase July 3rd. So July 3rd, the day after your birthday, I'm back in my new wonderful apartment that, you know, I moved in beginning of May and then I left for over a month starting May 24th. So I'd spent very little time here and I was so happy to be back. And so I spent basically all of the 4th, I went for a run in the morning, got attacked by a bird, and then laid out on the beach and just enjoyed the beach. And it rained, ran away from the rain, came back on the beach, ate food, and like truly beached it out the entire day. I was so happy to not be moving and to not have to think about future moves. And I would like fall asleep on the beach and then wake up with fireworks above me because people were just like lighting them up right on the beach.
Yeah.
And not like, I don't know what's happened because we always found ways to get fireworks. My family, mm-hmm. we would find them growing up, even though I don't think they were strictly legal in New Jersey at the time, but it was, you know, get some, maybe a Roman candle or some bottle rockets or whatever, like some very basic ass things. Now it seems like they have available to the consumer market a fireworks setup where it's just like one long box that you can light and then move away from, and it does like a well-timed entire fireworks routine.
Wow.
Not like as big of a show as you'd see at like Macy's or whatever your town's fireworks show was, but like a
Sears.
Very
it's Sears here.
Yeah. Okay, great. yeah, the Sears Roebuck fireworks show that everyone talks about every year. But yeah, it was like a good consumer equivalent of a genuine, well-timed fireworks show with like a build and a finale that again seemed like a set it and forget it. and there were three or four different pods of families on the beach that would take turns setting them off. And I'm just like, we're right under them, just watching them. It was fucking awesome.
It sounds great. It also sounds like it could potentially be miserable if you had fallen asleep and you keep getting woken up to fucking fireworks right over your head.
No, right.
But I'm glad you were in the right mindset for it.
I see I didn't describe a peaceful thing.
I'm pleased that you were in the right mindset. That's great. I take my son up onto the roof. My wife hates that I do it because it's very steep up there and very high. And she, in general, doesn't like heights. But this was the first year I also took my daughter up there. Now, the first time I took my son up there, he was like 4 and a half and a very good listener. Like he loves rules and loved the idea of, like, I told him the rules before we went up there and he was way into following them. My daughter is not that type of person. And she will defiantly go against rules. But I was still like, I think I can get her up there. And she's much younger than he was too. So I told him, like, beforehand, I was like, listen, always 3 points of contact. You always have a hand and feet, or you have your knees on in your hands, or you're sitting on your butt. If at any point you want to move, I will come get you and hold your hand as we move to a new section. But you're never moving alone. And they were like, okay. And then I took them both up onto the roof. As I'm up there, like, I set up a blanket up there so they have something to lie on. So they're not lying right on those asphalt shingles. And I'm like feeling pretty good about it. I'm like, they're doing great. And we're watching fireworks. And I get a text from Colleen. And she's like, where are you? I was like, well, we're on the roof for the 4th of July. And she's like, I don't see you out there. And she was looking onto the first level. She was like up in the bathrooms, like looking onto the first level. And I was like, no, we're up on the top. And she was like, why? With Gilly? And I was like, oh, yeah, yes. I should have probably cleared this with you. this should have been sanctioned by two parents, I'm sure. Yeah, she's up here. She's like, why? You never go up there. When you guys go out on the roof, you always go to just the first level. And I was like, ah, no. See, now I'm winning because that's not true. No, you see, we always go up to the top. That's the best way to see the fireworks, is at the tippy top. And so I'm saying,
I do think it's funny if for a brief moment she thought you were lying about being on the roof. She's like, where are you? I'm like, we're on the roof. No, I'm looking at the roof. You're not there. Ah, damn, you're right.
Yeah, fuck. Right. We went to the
I should have picked somewhere harder to check.
So as I'm fighting with her over text, I'm like, I've moved away from my children some and I'm doing this. My neighbors, I realize, are having they're watching a movie in the backyard with another set of neighbors. And they can see me. And I get this widen to reveal moment where I've got two young children, one a toddler, up on the roof, and I'm like on the other side of the roof just on my phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't look great. The optics here aren't great. I'll go
just
back.
Just shouting down to the neighbors. They signed Draymond for 4 years.
Can you believe it?
That's nuts, right?
Craziest NBA offseason in years. So yeah, it was fun though. It was really fun. They had a great time. And now Gilly, that's all she talks about. She's like, can we go on the roof? And I'm like, no, we don't do that again for another year. And she's like, got it. But she has no idea how long a year is. So that afternoon she'll be like, now it's time to go on the roof. I'll be like, no.
Right. You have to explain it in terms of it's 364 more sleeps. 364 more night times.
Right. And which is so, it's so incomprehensible to her because she's barely been alive for that long.
Right.
So like a year is so much of her life that she can't possibly conceive of that amount of time.
Oh, and you have to remind her that we're going into a leap year. So it's actually going to be a little bit longer than she's used to. It's going to feel disorienting, Gilly. Don't worry. Yeah.
This she happens. Gets to 365 and she's like, it's got to be time. I feel it in my bones. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. That's not how calendars work. So it was great. I had a great time.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get into the show, but I want to delay it even more because I'll admit to being a little bit of a bad friend because the way I watch TV is very... I don't watch a ton of shows and it's pretty appointment based and it's what I DVR. And if I forget to DVR it, then that's just sort of it for me. So I don't watch every episode of American Dad. I watch everyone that I know you Right. You're the writer on, even though I know you work on all of them and everyone works on all of them, I make it a point to find yours, but I don't often find myself just like
watching the show,
tuning into American Dad, because I almost never tune into anything. It's almost always like on demand. It's time for Succession or whatever shitty Marvel show I am forced to consume that week.
Right.
But when I was on the plane from Illinois to New Jersey, there was a bunch of American Dad on demand. And I was like, yeah, this is a shorter flight than I'm used to, so I won't get a full movie, but I could probably watch 3.5, maybe 4 episodes of American Dad. Soren, your show was a delight.
Oh, it's just, Daniel, thank you.
I get reminded every time I watch it that for some reason it hasn't become appointment viewing for me, but it's just so fun and so funny, and you do a great job on it. And everybody, if you're going to fly from O'Hare to Newark, I cannot recommend it enough. Treat yourself to 4 episodes of American Dad. If there's another way to watch it, do that too. But I haven't found it.
I wonder if I'm getting residuals on those in-flight viewings.
I bet you're not, man.
I bet I'm not.
I bet you're fucking not.
I didn't know where that story was going at first, because it started with, I'm not a great friend because I don't tune into a lot of shows. And I was like, oh no, is this going to be a circumstance where Daniel talks about how he's friends with the characters? Is it on television? That he feels bad about not tuning into it to Barry because Barry's going to be missing him.
Yeah, I'm not a good friend. I have no idea if those two broke girls ever dug themselves out of that hole. And I don't even know how I can. They don't have a Patreon, so I can't even support them if I wanted to.
Well, I do watch Last Week Tonight, and I love it. It's a great show. And I'm not watching it because I'm your friend. I like it because I genuinely enjoy it.
Oh, thanks, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good reminder to everyone listening. If you do happen to be the studios, David Zaslav, if you're listening, please come back to the table and negotiate a fair deal with the Writers Guild so we can go back to making the shows that at least, I'll say, 100% of the people doing this podcast like.
Oh, and before you come back, there's just a quick amendment I want to make to that deal. All the in-flight viewings from Delta of my show, I'd love to start getting residuals for those as well.
Yeah, someone is getting a piece of that.
So somebody's wetting their beak on that. Okay.
David, let's get into the show.
Yeah.
What?
I want to ask you a quick question, but did you want to go first here?
I don't care.
Okay, well, then I'm going to go first. Quick question.
Yeah, because mine's not a question. Mine's more of a statement. And actually, it's not a statement. It's more of a 4-page story. So you should probably go first.
I have a quick question for you that's going to lead into something else. You, for a little while, were a climber. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Like indoor rock climbing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you were going pretty hard. You were a climber.
And I did some climbing, like belay climbing in Colorado.
Yeah, it's called top rope.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you still that?
Nah, it's been a while.
I've gotten back into it, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. I've since, when I lived in New York, I was so close to a rock gym, and it was just part of my like weekly exercise routine. And then I moved out of New York, and there aren't many convenient rock walls on the beach, believe it or not.
Well, I'm asking because you can move pretty fluidly between being different types of people, and you go pretty hard as soon as you discover a new type of person to be. And I think I found one that you haven't been yet, and I think you would love it. I was in Wisconsin.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you saying that me, this golfer / fisherman / clockmaker...
Are you saying, man, you're an island man too? Don't forget.
Are you saying that this island man who once belonged to a parkour gym, are you saying I can't stick to things? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Me, a sushi chef.
You, Afro-Brazilian dancer. That you have a hard time. You commit for a solid week and you commit as headfirst as possible and then bail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I found a new type of person for you to be, and I think you can stick with this one. It feels right for you. So I was in Minnesota and Wisconsin on a trip, family trip, and there's a lot of lakes out there. And this is like, I feel like there's two different factions of this type of person, but lake people, I feel like you could be. And I don't think you'd do well as like a Lake Havasu type of people or a Lake Powell type of people, but the Midwest Northern lakes, I feel like that's right up your alley. Have you ever been there?
No, I've been to lakes. I feel like, for the sake of making an exciting podcast where all choices are binary, you can't be a lake person and a beach person. And I've planted my flag pretty deep, but sell me.
Okay. First of all, there's the atmosphere of the town surrounding the lake. Very bucolic. Bucolic? I don't really know how to pronounce that word. I've only ever read it.
Buckles. A great writer.
They're gorgeous little quiet. I'm going to emphasize that again. Quiet towns. They look like every first town in a... Or the town in a Stephen King book. Like, okay. That's how small, and like they have cute little bridges everywhere. There's a church that's always
Stephen
like
King famously said all of his stories in the Midwest. There's one thing people associate, one place in America that people associate with Stephen King. It's Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Well, they just have that feel, and then everybody's very kind. That I ran into anyway. But there's also these beautiful lakes everywhere and just like this abundance of water. And what that does to your psyche, it changes it dramatically. If you live in a desert for any period of time, this abundance of water makes you just so much more relaxed. And you just stumble across it. Huge, huge bodies of water. And I don't mean like Lake Michigan or Superior, like you can go to those, but there's also just like these, just tons of just giant lakes that are very big and very fun to play in. And though there's like a real respect among water goers. Like there's not a lot of boats in it. There's not a lot of motorized shit flying around you at all times. And you just find these little beaches and there's nobody there because there's so many lakes. You could just go to a beach that's yours. And if you could find a sandy one or even like a mud one, those are kind of cool in their own way. And the water is so warm all summer long. Just cruise out there. There's no waves. You go out, you play in the water. Sometimes there's a little dock out in the middle and you just swim out to it and you just lay on it for a little bit. You come back and it's beautiful. I want to move there.
This is your way of telling me that you are a lake person.
I think it might be my way of telling you that I want to be a lake person.
It's fascinating to me for a couple of reasons because our listeners might not know this, but for the podcast record today, you were less of a lake person and more of a late person. And during that time, engineer producer Gabe and I talked about beach folks and how so many people how jarring it was when I moved to LA and so few people that I hung around with took advantage of living so close to a beach and spent any time on a beach. And you've been living in Los Angeles for
20 years, yeah.
And here you are turning your back on the biggest lake of all, the ocean, and converting to lake people.
Right. Also freshwater, that does it. That changes things as well. And it's just our beaches are so chaotic and so sexy. It's just a problem. Like it's like,
sure,
there's just so much going on. It's like a Las Vegas of water, bodies of water. Like I don't like the energy. I don't like there's somebody constantly running, like driving an ice cream truck and ringing a bell through wherever I'm sleeping. You know what that means? You know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. And well,
like mango cart or ice cream cart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like having to deal with all those people. I don't like the constant noise of the waves. I don't find that soothing. There's the beaches in general. And they're so sunny. They're just like, there's no coverage. You are so exposed. But on a lake, Daniel, oh, trees for miles, beautiful trees. The only thing you really have to worry about there are leeches.
Yes.
Because you do get some of those.
Yeah. I'm not entirely opposed to lakes, and I understand what you're saying. There was a couple years ago, I went up to Big Bear with some friends, and we got a boat on a lake and just hung out on the lake the entire day and would jump out and swim for a little while. and then you would dock up at a restaurant and eat at the restaurant and get back on your boat. I found it very appealing. And Big Bear is a cute buckles town. And I was not where you are, but I was in sort of 2 hours outside of Chicago in a town with beautiful, wonderful rivers. And it was another small town with great small town vibes. And people were taking their boats out on Rock River all the time. It looked lovely. I could absolutely see myself going back there and spending lots of time there. It just so happens that you're selling me on lakes on the exact wrong day. I woke up this morning to take Jackson for a walk on the beach because Jackson had been with my parents this entire time until last night. So I woke up and we went on the beach and it was so quiet. There was almost no one there. I say almost no one because there was one guy standing there, just an older fella, shirtless guy, fishing at 7 in the morning when we were doing our walk. And I said hello to him and he said good morning. And then he points and he goes, dolphins. And we just see dolphins jumping in the distance. And, you know, Soren, if that's not nice, I don't know what is. And now you're trying to sell me on lakes with leeches.
Let's see what I could do. I know that there are some freshwater dolphins in the Amazon, and maybe I could get some of those shipped. So there are other little things about the lakes that I don't totally understand and that are very dangerous. But, like, I do like that you could just hike around outside the rip. It's all forested. Everything around a lake is always forested. So you're just like, if you have to get tired of being in the water, you're like, and now I'm just going to go on a walk through these very nice open forests where, like, it's not chaparral. It's not like that terrible habitat where everything's spiny and terrible on your feet. You're just like, you could trudge around barefoot and go explore these deciduous tree forests. But I will say, we went to one, we stayed a couple nights next to one lake and they were like, and while you're here, don't drink the water because it's got a lot of nitrates. And we were like, what is it? I thought those were in hot dogs. What is that doing in the water? And I don't really know how it got there, but it's in the water supply. Maybe from all the farming around Wisconsin, there's something has to do with like nitrates that they're adding. I don't know. But anyway, I was worried about that. And then we also just one day went to a beach, played in the water for a while, and another family showed up and the mom was like, don't get in the water. And the kids are, of course, were like, they're in the water, pointing at my children. She's like, yeah, but it says it's dangerous levels today, so don't go in. And I was like, oh, fuck. Dangerous levels of what?
So did you find out what?
Yeah. So I went over to her eventually and I said, what? Did you say there's dangerous levels of something in the water? She's like, yeah, it's the eco, dangerous levels of eco. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Is that something that, is it just if it gets in their mouth or is it? And she's like, no. If it gets in their skin, they can absorb it. You got to like go wash them off afterwards. You got to get in between their toes and stuff. And I was like, what the fuck is this eco? And so I'm leaving. And as I'm leaving, I'm like looking for signs. And I finally see one. It's very small, but it's like been posted that day. E. coli, Dan. E. coli in the water. And she called it eco.
Yeah.
So either she's never heard of it or she's got cool new slang that's like a lake people slang that I didn't know.
Yeah, that's not one of the ones that I would like cutely abbreviate.
No, it's very important that you get the lie at the end.
Yeah.
So I took them home and immediately scrubbed them down and scrubbed myself down. But I don't even know how that got in the water. If it's just like the septic tanks from all the houses around the beaches. There's elements that I don't get yet, admittedly.
I know my friends went up to a lake house in Pennsylvania sometime last year, and they were surprised that no one else was swimming in the lake, and they were so excited to get in there, and they got their tubes, and they went out, and they were swimming until eventually cops or rangers let them know that there was dangerous amounts of goose shit.
What?
In the water that would get you very sick if like you had an open wound and it got in there. And that's why no one was swimming in it because everyone else knew too much goose shit. Yeah.
The goose pooped too much that day. Like when is it not that? Like do the goose populations just get decimated occasionally and it's fine?
Yeah, it was just the night before was a big goose party and you know how it gets.
Yeah, they all get mud butt the next day.
Yeah.
It's the wrong kind of shit. Yeah. That's really terrifying. That's the thing. So you are very exposed. Like, you're out there and exposed in a different way than on a beach, which is just to the sun. You're exposed to, like, you're the only one out there a lot. And if you don't know the rules, like, things could get bad, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is really, the trade-off is great. The trade-off is that it's very peaceful. There's never anybody else there. And you could, it's just so quiet and shady and warm.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you had a fun time at the lake.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I did. Invite me out next time. I don't know.
I would love to. I've got a friend actually who lives in Minnesota. Well, he doesn't. They have a cabin in Minnesota, and every August they go there and they try to, like, recruit writers to come out there to just, like, write and hang out. Like, they want to feel like they're this artist enclave. And I feel like I should go sometime. And if you want to go, we should do it.
That always, I mean, I'll go to hang out with you. That kind of thing always sounds so appealing on paper. Like, there was a cabin in Topanga, California that I rented once that was specifically like Topanga is generally like a hippie artist oasis. It's that their whole thing is we're an unincorporated town and we're in the woods and the mountains and we want you to come and like make art here with other artists and we're all hippies and we're all having a good time. There's that. There's also like Amtrak for years was running this grant program where you could ride the train across the country for free and sleep on the train. But the catch, and it was barely a catch, was that you just you had to be a writer. They didn't care if you were doing poetry or if you were writing a novel or a screenplay. They were just like, we understand how romantic it is to write on a train. Yeah. So we like to provide this for you. You don't need to include Amtrak in your writing. You don't even need to finish something or sell it or whatever. We just want to do this thing for artists.
Just go touch America. That's fucking cool. Yeah,
it's really cool. I'm just, when I hear about these cabins for writing, I am just not, I'm not that kind of writer. Maybe I will go to the cabin and then when I get home, I will have ideas and things to write about. But if I'm invited to a cabin, I'm going to want to like hike and explore and fish and do shit and play Frisbee with you and not do writing, not do the thing.
Yeah.
Not the thing that I love and hate.
I think you just have to convince yourself that stuff is writing. I think that's like the only way you do it is you're like, no, I'm building. I'm building things in my brain. I'm restructuring my brain right now to be perfect for writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that it can get, those types of things end up being like, you get absolutely nothing done at them. But that means that if you write a single thing, if you write a single page, you're like, holy shit, I did it, man. You just brush your hands off. Like, I put a pen to paper, and that is crazy. Here.
This was totally worth you buying this house and feeding me and housing me for a couple of days. It's been a month. Oof.
He's invited me several years in a row. He's also somebody that I will, because I haven't said his name, I will reveal that he also used to do like some high-end sex parties. He would be like invited to those in New York when he used to live there. So he's lived a different lifestyle than me. And I was like, I'm not sure if this is my people. And then I went to his wedding and it was the best. Like everybody there was so cool and fun. And it was also in Minnesota. And I was just like, I feel like I could go there and just slip in with this group of people and be totally fine.
You know what's wild is I feel like I hear about high-end sex parties like Your Eyes Wide Shut, and I feel about your like dumpster bargain orgies.
Yeah.
Like your most other sex parties. I have yet to find like just a mid-range sex party that I could slide into.
That's tough. It's tough that you don't have the middle of the road sex party.
That
fits you.
Yeah. It's just extremes. The market is just full of extremes. There's the American middle class is dying, and I think this is part of it.
It's because they want you to know what you're getting. And so like they're going to play to the ends of the spectrum because if it gets muddy in the middle, it's tough.
Yeah.
You want to get like you know you're going to the top shelf or you're going to be on the bottom shelf. But like that middle ground is like you don't want to show up to something and have it be beneath you, and you don't want to show up to something and be like not dressed right for the occasion.
But I do want the exact middle ground. That's why I love Chili's so much. If I could just have that, but a sex party, I think all of my problems would be solved. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? The chain sex party. That's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The sit-down chain sex party. I did go to an Applebee's on this trip and really enjoyed it deeply.
Oh, hell yeah.
I hadn't been to one in a long time. They at the during the meal, they even had like this poster up on the wall because they've always got new shit going on. And they are serving up donut holes that had powdered sugar on them and then also were served with caramel or a hot fudge dipping sauce. Yeah. And we were like, that is not shit I would ever get in my entire life. Let's get it.
Of course.
So we got it. It was delicious. It was incredible.
I remember, I don't know if they're still doing it, but certainly when I was in college, they were doing like buy one, get one, either free or half off appetizers after a certain time of night. And it was like very clearly, we are catering to college students because you are the kind of people who don't have a lot of money and will appreciate a sale. And also will eat what will be your dinner at 10:30 at night. And I, even as a college student, I was just like, you guys don't have to do this. This is so nice of you. Thank you so much. I don't know what I was going to do. I would have been so hungry.
You have saved me.
If I couldn't have these boneless buffalo wings and tavern chips.
I did like the time that we went to Chili's that we got there and you're immediately like, yeah, we need some tortilla chips. Also, bring some ranch with those. Yep. And I was like, yeah. What? You're like, just trust me. You knew Chili's backwards and forwards. Yeah. You knew what to get there.
Leave the menus at the host stand, honey. I'll take it from here.
I know what he wants. Don't worry about him. Well, here's the deal, Dan. Huh. We're almost out of time.
Yeah.
And you didn't get to your story. Do you want to tease it for next time?
No.
Oh, you want to just tell it?
No, I'll tell it next time.
There was the tease. That was it. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
That's very tantalizing for anybody who was listening and thought, ooh, he's mad about it now.
I can't believe we're done already. That rules.
Yeah. All right. Let me go find these real quick.
No, you talked a lot today. I'll do it. The show is Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. Their digital album is available at mirex.bandcamp.com. Listen to their music. It's great. Want to find us on Twitter? You can for a limited time only, because that site really, I know we've said it before, but it really seems like it's collapsing right now in real time. But I am at @DOB_INC on Twitter. Soren is Soren_LTD. The show is QQ_Soren and Dan. And you can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. You can also find the show on Patreon.com/QuickQuestion. And you can find us on YouTube now. We are doing video versions of the podcast sometimes, and it's been a lot of fun to show you all how I am aging, and that is youtube.com/QQ podcast.
Sounds right. I mean, I'm not, you don't ask
me. Yeah. I mean, don't put the question mark that I delivered into the URL. I don't think there's a question mark in it. But that is it for this episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. Soren, it's so good to hear from you. It sounds like you're doing well. Thanks for chatting with me.
It's always good to talk to you, Dan. I'm really happy to talk to you, and I'm really happy that you're doing great.
Thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? Friends and comedy writers. If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.